We're going to turn now to our gospel reading of the day. We're reading again from the gospel according to Matthew. And in this text, which is a text about what belongs to God and what belongs to Caesar, we hear Jesus answering questions from two groups that normally would not be allied with each other, the Herodians, who would be pro-Roman, and then the Pharisees, who would be pro-temple. So normally these two groups wouldn't collude together, but in this case, they have a common cause, which is to undermine the work of Jesus. So let us listen for God's word in these words from Holy Scripture. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with that truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know that no human words can ever fully testify to the power of your mystery and the endlessness of your compassion. So we simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of us here may be acceptable in your sight. Amen. At a clergy conference on storytelling I attended recently at Austin Theological Presbyterian Seminary in Texas, participants were invited to bring along a sacred object from our present lives, a sacred object, something that reminds us of God's presence, of God's activity in our lives, something that reminds us of our longing to be close to God and our longing to follow God's lead. Now, as you might imagine, there was a huge range in the character of these objects. A single minister brought a picture of her dog, a creature who gives her unconditional love at the end of her long days. And a Baptist minister brought his Bible. Surprise! We all teased him about that. But it was a Bible that had been in his family for years that meant so much. Another minister brought prayer beads that she had collected from various youth group mission trips she had taken her youth group on around the country. Now, of course, I was the one in that special select group of people who completely forgot about this assignment. And since I was a rather long way away from home, I had to scramble and think of something I had with me. As I sat there watching rather anxiously the parade of ministers come forward and describe their special items, I remembered that some months ago, our parish nurse, Allie Breisch, gave me a little vial of anointing and blessing oil. Now, I was so thankful for this gift, it was so thoughtful, but I didn't know where to store it. So I put it in my purse for safekeeping, and it has been there ever since. I carry this little oil, vial of oil with me wherever I go. As I thought about that, I realized, one, that I will be forever grateful to Allie for saving my skin in front of my peers, and two, that the oil reminds me of God's healing presence and my longing to share that healing presence with others. So I am glad I keep it in my purse. I wonder, what would you bring? What would you bring? Thinking about the little objects that remind us of God can be a very fruitful exercise. After all, especially when there are so many images, some of them quite ungodly, that compete for our attention out there in the wilderness. All these images. And some of them often win. So carrying that object helps us remember who we are. Now, the Israelites that Moses led to freedom had their golden calf, and we have ours. Or make that plural, golden calves. Those collective images that work their way into our identities. It's almost impossible for them not to. Everything from trends in looks, styles, shoes, to the latest handheld devices, the iPhone 6, you know, the cutting edge of political activism. These are the things that gradually we start to spend more time thinking about than our relationship with God. The external things we start to believe that will make us feel good inside or accepted by our peers or perhaps even just a notch more worthy than our peers. Or maybe our golden calf is this money. And what we think it will buy for us. Like an election. An election. It is astounding. $59 million in our state? That is just North Carolina, has been spent by both candidates so far. It's not even election day. Surely that amount of money will shape who the candidates are, to whom they are beholden, how we feel they are beholden to us. So maybe it's politics that is our golden calf, but it could be that our golden calves are more personal. All the striving, all the shoulds, we have lifted up and worshiped as if they were God. Like where we should go to college, what kind of job we should have, how successful we should be at this point in our lives. The achievements, the milestones that are supposed to make us feel happy. We keep bowing down and worshiping these idols until one day we realize we are still as empty inside now as we were before. And we've wandered so far from the promise of the real God that we need help getting back in touch. That's when it's time to call Moses. He is a master negotiator with the Holy One, after all. He does not give in easily. After that whole golden calf incident, you know, you can understand that God was just a little bit upset. I mean, Moses was upset too. He'd been delayed coming down from the mountain with the tablets that had the Ten Commandments written on them. And by the time he gets there, back to the people, things are completely out of hand. The Israelites' breach of the covenant was colossal. Colossal. But does that mean the end of the relationship? Not if Moses has anything to say about it. Go ahead to the promised land without me, God says. But without you, we are nothing, Moses says. You're right, God says. You're right. You know, we Christians sometimes carry a very limited image of the Old Testament God, I think, a God who's so harsh, immovable. But in the story of Moses' conversations with God, the Holy One comes across as pretty reasonable, sympathetic, forgiving, a divinity you can work with. You know, you can talk to God, and God's mind will be changed if you ask. God will respond to your needs if you ask. God will give you another chance, even if you stray far, far away, even if you totally forget in whose image you were made. And how often we do forget that it is God's image we bear most of all. How often we forget that underneath all the layers of our identity, all the labels that threaten to define us, is our face as God sees it. How often we lose sight of the fact that these, all of our transparent, beautiful faces are imprinted forever on the palms of God's hands, made in God's image, each and every one. But then someone comes along who makes us remember, like Thomas Eric Duncan. Remember, you know that name? First Ebola victim? Thomas Eric Duncan. If he had not gotten on a plane from Monrovia, Liberia to Dallas, Texas, he would have been another nameless, faceless victim of Ebola to the people of the church where his fiancée worships. But Eric Thomas did get on the plane, And because of that, the people at Wiltshire Baptist Church in Dallas know that he came to Texas for love, with hopes and dreams for a future, with plans to get married to one of their own church members. No one in that church saw him on that last tragic visit, but those who knew him say that he was a gentle and giving man, a man not so different from them, from any of us, made in the image. How easy it is to forget. How easy it is to stick with our narrow vision of who is in favor and who is out. To get carried away, like so many Pharisees and Herodians, with more questions about policy than about compassion. But God never forgets, because God's pockets are packed full to bursting with layer upon layer of sacred objects, each one of them a little different, each one bearing the unique face of a human being, past or present. Each one created in the divine image of the one who is the source and the destination of our lives. Each one held in the warmth of God's hands, where we all belong. May it be so. Amen.